Hello, and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. You know, it's funny, the holidays. We run around like crazy, shopping, traveling, partying. Just at the darkest and coldest time of the year, our bodies want rest, but the culture demands we engage. Maybe it's consumerism, or maybe we just need cheering up. And what better way than through comedy and music? We all need some laughs, and we all need some tunes. Well, we've got both for you on this show. Some funny lesbian sketch comedy. Did I say funny lesbian? Those two words went together. Cool. The Crackpot Crones. Yeah, we'll understand what crones are in a minute. My guests, Terry Baum and Carolyn Myers, are here from the Crackpot Crones. And Crones, and also a Judy Garland Christmas show. Have yourself a merry little Christmas from Connie Champagne, our perennial guest. Welcome, Connie, Terry, and Carolyn.
Hi, thanks.
It's a party.
Thank you. Yeah.
It's a party with the women.
Good night.
How are you all coping with the beginnings of the season? So I guess we're sort of underway here. It's the, you know.
We've gone through Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, and so as a Jew, I'm done.
We've got Kwanzaa. We've got,
Yeah, but you can't be done as a Jew because aren't you sort of, as a Jew, though, you don't part of it, but you have to be part of it because it's just kind of ubiquitous, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can't really get away from it.
Yes.
Unless you go to, like, Bali, where it's, like, Muslim and Hindu.
Right, yeah. No, you have to do it.
You have every day in Bali is like Christmas.
Every day in Bali, and everybody's
the lights
an artist.
And the jewels, and it's all so gorgeous.
Well, it's a difficult time of year for a lot of people, and so we thought we'd make this show about cheering people up because that's what you're doing in these shows. You're very
that's
different
right.
kinds of shows.
Yeah,
one
good.
Sketch comedy and music, and one doing the Judy Garland Christmas show. And yours is at the Hotel Nico's Michael Feinstein's.
Yes, Feinstein's.
And yours is at the Exit Theater,
theexit.org.
And you can go to Connie Champagne and find out about your show, or you can go to MichaelFeinstein's.com.
Feinstein's at the Hotel Nico, and I believe there are going to be some tickets on Gold Star as well. Which
for
we
those
all
of you
love
who are on a budget.
GoldStar.com, yeah.
Well, we all like a bargain. And yours is the 18th.
Yeah, this Wednesday.
We open this
weekend.
This weekend. We have three performances, two on the 14th, Saturday at 3 and 8 p.m. and Sunday at 3 p.m. And if you are talking about bargains, we are making our first week free.
Wow.
And
wow.
You can go to Brown Paper Tickets and get a reservation, no service charge, no code, just Crones for the Holidays, the sequel. And you will have a reservation for a free ticket.
I will have to go. I'm in line, definitely.
Oh, see?
It's very fun, and the Exit Theater is very fun, and I can't wait to see Michael Feinstein's now after
Feinstein's.
It was the Raz Room, and now it's Feinstein's.
And it's right around the corner from the Exit Theater. When I park or if I take the bus, I pretty much walk by the exit to get there.
So you've been doing Judy Garland because there's something about you as Judy Garland on stage. First of all, you sing her so beautifully. You portray her in a way that's kind of scary good. Like, it's kind of mystical.
Thank you. I mean,
So what do you do to prepare? That's what I wanted to ask you, Connie Champagne, is how do you prepare to enter that character? Because you're an actor by training.
Right. I started, I can't even believe it. This past weekend, we did the 20th anniversary of Christmas with the Crawfords. And for those of you who don't know, it is a Christmas show based on a real life radio broadcast that Joan Crawford did on Christmas Eve with their children in the 40s. Only in our version, Joan is desperately was trying to make a comeback. And so I was cast as Judy in the third season of that show, so 18 years ago. And I never saw myself as Judy. If you see me in person, I don't particularly look like her, although we do wear the same shoe size, which is a 5 wide.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. But and I'm an inch taller. But other than that, you know, but Alan Sawyer, who also directs Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, which is the show at Feinstein's, he at that time was directing and helping create Christmas at the Crawfords. He saw me as Judy. So I started physical. Mm-hmm. You know, I was really in the Charles Ludlam Ridiculous Theater Company, outside in, kind of, you know, actor man, thinking about the physicality of the character. And you learn a lot about, as I'm sure you ladies know as well, you learn a lot about the emotional character from the way that character moves and stands and sounds. And Judy was a lefty, so her heart is always exposed, which makes you really vulnerable, you know. And so I kind of started with that. And I was real careful not to do an imitation. I would love to be gifted like Rich Little, but that's just not, you know, what I do. So
I think that's what makes it so compelling, is that it's not an imitation. It's as if, oh, I hate this word, but it's as if you're channeling.
Well, and there's a lot of me in there, too. I think
there
one
is.
Of the things, one of the things, yeah.
There.
And, but Judy was quite rebellious, you know. She was kind of punk rock, as you hear about her later years, especially, you know, dining and dashing and jumping out of, you know, stealing. I don't know if you know the famous story about when she was a model for Black Glamour fur coats. And the coat she had on was a sample coat for the photos. Black Glamour was,
oh, sure.
You know, what becomes,
what becomes a legend.
A legend
most.
Yeah, exactly. And the coat wasn't even lined, and she made, she walked out the door with it.
Oh,
oh yeah.
I thought they got the coat for doing the
oh,
ad.
No, she took it.
For those of you who don't,
good for her.
That's
no.
Pretty, doesn't get much more punk rock than that.
For those of you who don't know why we celebrate Judy Garland in the gay community, her death sparked the Stonewall riots in New York in 1969. That night, the Queens just weren't going to take any more crap from the cops. So Judy Garland is a sort of, people used to say when you didn't know if people were gay, are you a friend of Dorothy? And that was referencing The Wizard of Oz. And so that goes back to the 60s and 70s, et cetera. Yeah. And so it's,
I mean, and a lot of people.
She's a gay icon.
In the Stonewall book, they have, they argue about that, you know. Some people, I think it was sort of one of those, and you guys can correct me if, you know, or whatever, add your two cents. But I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, like a perfect storm.
Oh,
you know,
in terms of the Stonewall uprising.
Oh, definitely.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had the younger...
a tipping point, maybe?
You know, the hair fairies, as they were called in San Francisco. The young queens, young trans women that, you know, maybe could have cared less about Judy Garland. But then you've got these other people that stood in line for 4 hours to see her body at Campbell's, you know, on the hottest day of the year in June in New York. And it's humid.
At the funeral parlor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Campbell's funeral home. Mm-hmm. And I think I just think all those things came together. I don't think it was necessarily one thing, but I mean, she definitely, her core audience were gay men in particular. And although I've known a great many queer people, you know, of all genders and ethnicities too, that really respond to her vulnerability and her sense of humor. That's one of the things that both, I've worked with Lorna Luft, her other daughter, mm-hmm. but Liza Minnelli has said it too. A lot of people think, oh, you know, poor Judy, oh, boo-hoo. But she had this tremendous sense of humor. And I think that too.
She was tough.
Yeah.
Strong.
And funny.
She was a provider for her family.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And even though she didn't have the slightest idea how to do it, you know, but she definitely gave it the college
Well, let's listen. Let's listen to something from Judy Garland's. This is something you're going to do. This is the title of the show.
Yeah, I'm doing all, I think pretty much all the songs on the CD. And
have
the
yourself...
CD's been reprinted. We're sold out, so we had to have it reprinted. So I'll have more copies of the show.
Connie Champagne here on Out in the Bay singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas for Judy Garland Show on the 18th at Feinstein's.
Christmas future is far away. Christmas past is past, but Christmas present is here today, bringing joy that will last. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide. Dear to us. gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow. But till then, we'll have to muddle through somehow. So have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. My guest is Connie Champagne. My other guests are Terry Baum and Carolyn Myers from the Crackpot Crones. That show is on the 18th at Michael Feinstein's at the Nico.
This coming Wednesday, yeah.
In a week, yeah, next Wednesday, right. So, Terry, Carolyn, you do the Crackpot Crones, and this is a mix of sketch. It's at the Exit Theater starting this weekend, and you can find out more at theexit.org. And you're doing sketch comedy. Tell us about, I saw this headline in advertising for the show, Virgin Mary tells her coming out story at the Exit Theater. I'm like, well, okay, that's kind of provocative. Christmas, hello.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if there were Jewish people behind this. Just kidding.
Well, she was a nice Jewish girl.
That's true.
Indeed.
So can you do a little of that from your show?
Sure.
Would you mind doing that for us?
Sure,
thank
absolutely.
You.
So this scene, Luba has come to see the Virgin Mary in Moscow. And Mary, I play Mary, this is Carolyn, and I play Mary, and I'm an icon. So just my head sticks through a beautiful Russian icon, and that'll give you the feelings. And Luba has just told Mary how hard it is for her to have these feelings for another woman. Oh, Luba, I have had the same feelings.
What? You?
I've never told anyone before either, but I think you'll understand because you're in the same boat.
In the same boat as the Virgin Mary?
Yes, my darling girl, we're coming out to each other. Isn't this exciting?
Well, it's going a little fast for me.
But it's such a relief to speak out loud, isn't it? I just can't stop myself. Her name was Alcmena, and she was a Greek goddess. I met her in a support group for mortals who have been raped by gods at
what?
The Rape Crisis Center.
Oh, my God.
Alcmena and I had so much in common. Oh, she had a son, too, Hercules, also the son of a god, Zeus, who went on to lasting fame and then died a terrible death. We held each other close. Our tete-a-tetes soon became mano-a-manos, and then I made love with Alcmena, goddess, a goddess, I'm telling you, hot.
Hot.
Oh, I was sick and tired of being the Madonna side of the Madonna horror, good girl, bad girl split. It's nice being worshipped, but it can get very boring. I did it for my...
That's good. The Crackpot Crones here on Out in the Bay.
Yeah.
That's fun. So you have a blast with this, right? It's sketches and then some music?
Well, this particular scene is a blast in terms of...
Blast for me.
...developing the Virgin Mary as a lesbian, but it also is a serious exploration about the crisis for gay people in Russia right now.
Oh, yeah.
Where they just appointed, Putin just appointed this man as the head of the state news agency, who actually said on television that when gay people die, their hearts should be burned.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, and we're going to do a show here on the radio program in January about, and we're going to get the gay guy, Stoli representative, who does all these Stoli parties all over the country.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Galineau. We're going to get Patrick and several other people from different sides of that argument. And we're going to talk about whether, you know, why Pepsi and NBC aren't pulling out, because there's not enough pressure on them. And and is that a good idea? And is it a good idea to boycott Stoli? And what can we as individuals do? And what does this really look like? Because I think that it's going to be a lightning rod come February when the Olympics start, and it's going to resonate consciousness all over the world about this issue. So sometimes the adversity actually helps us grow.
Definitely. And, you know, the young women who actually, I mean, that was the first I'd heard of it, were when the young women, speaking of punk rock, the punk rock girls, women who
Pussy Riot.
And they were put in, I don't think they even thought they were going to be imprisoned.
No.
And then all of a sudden, this whimsical, you know, kind of street theater thing, it's like, oh my God.
Even that wasn't
tolerable. That's where we got this idea. We had last year at our show, Crumbs for the Holidays, we did the Virgin Mary with Pussy Riot coming, because they did dance right in front of her, and that's why we chose the Russian icon. And then this year we were planning to have a Virgin Mary somewhere else, but then this was happening with the Olympics.
And my God, have you guys seen the photographs of Putin, you know, shirtless on a horse? This is Connie speaking.
No, I like the ones with him with like a little gay image with
the
rainbow.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah. He's so hella gay. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Shirtless on a horse. You're like, excuse me? I mean, you know, really.
Well, I don't know about this, Connie.
Yeah. I'm just saying. No.
Schwarzenegger did that, too.
I have a point. You, Marilyn, you ladies, you revisit that picture and tell me if you don't. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
So what other sketch do you want to share with us tonight? You think you have something else? What was that about?
Frosty the Snowden Manning. We would like to sing that song.
All right. Go. Okay. I love it.
Is it live? Fantastic.
Yes.
All right.
It's a little embarrassing to be singing after you have sung,
come on.
But what the hell?
Let's go. I want to hear
all kinds. It's the holidays, right? We need every kind of entertainment. Right.
This is the story of Frosty the Snowden Manning. Frosty the Snowden Manning, he could listen very well. With his honest eyes, all the spooks and spies, all their secrets loved to tell. Frosty the Snowden Manning sat and listened all day long. But the things he'd hear, he began to fear. They were evil, bad, and wrong. He tried hard to keep silent. He was ordered not to speak. But it bobbled up inside him till the truth began to leak. Frosty the Snowden Manning found a way to share his news. As a big celeb on the World Wide Web, he got 18 million views. He shared those secrets with the world, but the secrets were so grim that instead of looking at the truth, everybody looked at him.
Woo.
Frosty the Snowden Manning was a traitor, some folks say. We won't see him for a long, long time, but he'll be welcome back someday.
Yay!
Nice. Very good. Terry Baum here on Out in the Bay. Terry Baum, Carolyn Myers, and Connie Champagne clapping away there. You know, I thought this would be kind of a motley crew to put you all together, and it's turning out to be so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's so fun. And Connie, I just want to go back real quickly and just ask you, looking back on all the times, you know, working with Scrambly Coldwell, being part of this history, it's queer history, for years and years now, not to make you sound old, I'm sorry.
No, honey, it's okay.
You started when you were 10, right? And so I'm just saying that, I'm just wondering how you look back as you have, where you are right now here at this time, how do you look back on the evolution of what you've seen in our culture and our community over these years?
Well, I feel very fortunate, you know. I feel, you know, I mean, I think for a lot of us, especially everybody who survived, you know, the AIDS pandemic, you know, lost a lot of friends. And, you know, there's definitely a lot of things I wish I'd done differently or
like
times.
What, may I ask?
It's tough. I mean, like, I wish that I would have spent more time with my mom, you know? Mm-hmm. My mom my mom was a dyke, and she only came out to me a few years before she died. And I was in New York doing a play, and when I came, doing Christmas at the Crawfords, actually, when I came back, she lived for 6 weeks. And so it's things like that. I mean, I loved being Christmas at the Crawfords, and I loved doing that. But at the same time, I wish I would have had more consciousness about, you know, ovarian cancer and how lethal that is and things like that. And just maybe just been a little kinder, I think, a little more aware. But I guess maybe that's how we learn. Right.
And maybe that's a theme for the holidays. Maybe that's a theme of what this dark, cold time of year is to try to bring cheer to others and to try to be kind.
Yeah.
I know that I've had a bunch of rough Christmases due to various issues with my family and my stories, my narrative, as they say. And I have made a decision that this Christmas, I'm just going to be kind and spread joy and be as light as I can with everybody I meet, whether it's in traffic. So just go, no, you go ahead.
Yeah.
And just to try to stay in my heart and try and really embrace what Christmas, what the holiday season is supposed to be about, which is a sort of generosity of spirit, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
and so I think
definitely.
That's not a bad idea. And I think going to your show, I mean, I can just... You put on such a great show. I want to listen to a little bit more before I get back to the crones, which I think is kind of a, you know, my mother didn't like that word.
Yeah.
They kept calling
my
her a crone.
My mother loved it.
And your mother loved it.
Yeah,
see?
She was a Wiccan, actually, my mom.
Oh, well,
yeah.
See? There you
that's
go.
Amazing.
She loved it. She,
wow.
She thought of herself as that.
Oh,
I have to
great.
Read this. Because what happened was earlier this afternoon, I was reading my script out loud, the script for this show that we're doing right now, and to my friend Ed, who's visiting from Chicago. He's a heterosexual guy and a fun, modern guy. And he says, what are you saying, crackpot? What? And I said, crones. He goes, what is that? And I'm like, whoa. He goes, well, what is it? You don't know what a crone. So I looked it up, and I just have to read this to y'all. The crone is a stock character in folklore and fairy tale, an old woman. In some stories, she is disagreeable, malicious, or sinister in manner, often with magical or supernatural associations that can make her either helpful or obstructing. The crone is also an archetypal figure, a wise woman. She is marginalized by her exclusion from the reproductive cycle, and her proximity to death places her in contact with occult wisdom. As a character type, the crone shares characteristics with the hag.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Course.
So we have crones and a fag hag.
Oh, yeah, there we are.
Please,
not much of a
just an icon,
hag.
Not a fag hag.
Yeah, I don't see her as a fag hag at all. No.
Sorry, I apologize. Connie Champagne here.
Well,
on
you got to claim. Sometimes you got to claim. You know, she's isolated because she's not reproductive anymore. Excuse me? Does anybody ever say that about men? That they're isolated from society because they can't find other children, you know?
Well, and like... think about how, I mean, we don't even need to go into the gory details.
Yeah,
but
unfortunately,
let's put it this
scary
way.
Other children.
The little blue pill is a lot easier and less, you know, less traumatic on the body than the solutions they have. Let's put it this way. I'm not taking any Premarin anytime soon, you know?
Let me make sure everybody understands where we can find your shows. At the Exit Theater, theexit.org, the Crackpot Crones show is coming starting the 14th of this month, running through the 29th, Crones for the Holidays, the sequel, with Terry Baum, my guests, and Carolyn Myers. And you can, as I said, go to theexit.org. And then, Connie Champagne, you're at Michael Feinstein's new room, relatively new room.
Right,
at
Feinstein's.
The hotel, mm-hmm. MichaelFeinstein's.com at the Hotel Nico here in San Francisco on the 18th of December,
right.
One night only, special engagement.
222 Mason Street. For those of you who remember the Raz Room, it's the same space. It's just been renovated. And actually, you know, I would love, if you have Hanukkah and Santa Monica queued up, I'd love to dedicate it to the crones, to the crackpot crones. I think
thank you.
That's nice.
I think you two might enjoy this number, and it's pretty short and sweet.
Good.
It's perfect.
So that's Joanne Marr, our engineer. That's track number 4, Hanukkah in Santa Monica. It's Connie Champagne here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman.
Right now, I'd like to do a number that's a holiday tune that brings me in mind of so many happy evenings in early December with my good friend Sammy Davis Jr. Dreidel, 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 I've made you out of clay, and when you're dry and ready, then dreidel I will play. I'm spending out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona.
Bum, ba-dum, bum. I love it.
What
Connie
a great
Champagne.
Song.
Yeah.
Connie Champagne here on Out in the Bay. It's from her Christmas show, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, starring Connie Champagne as Judy Garland at Feinstein's at the Nico on the 18th. And I'm also here with Terry Baum and Carolyn Myers from the Crackpot Crones. Where'd you get the name, the Crackpot Crones?
Well, we were on tour. It was our very first show. We were at Casa Feminista in Ojo Caliente, and they instead of the Gideon
New Mexico
Bible,
and New the New Mexico. Mexico mountains.
Love it.
Actually, over Christmas vacation. Yeah.
And in every bedroom, instead of a Gideon's Bible, they had a book by Mary Daly, the great feminist theologian, and she had a Wiccadary, and in there was a couple of crackpot crones, and the description just sounded
That's
like
nice.
Us.
And they actually used the word crackpot?
Yeah, crackpot yeah. crones, like the idea of just the so funny, so out there, so willing to be bold.
It's one of my favorite words. You know, yeah. I mean, that's the one of, I think it's the first John Waters book is called Crackpot.
Oh, it really
yeah.
is.
Oh, really?
It really
yeah.
is when you've stepped over that line. You're yeah. just...
And crones is like stepping into this space of being older women
oh, yes.
and saying, you know, we're here and
we are
powerful yeah. and we're funny.
Yeah. That's right.
And don't mess with us, people.
Yeah, right. And there isn't anybody doing what we do. I mean, women, as they get older, are supposed to sort of recede.
Fade away.
Disappear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, Carolyn
and your audience
and I,
is lesbians, I assume, who don't have enough, their needs met in the entertainment
yeah, but
offerings.
It's all everybody.
Everybody, I know.
It's
but,
not, yes, but
But
yes,
lesbians are underserved, absolutely. Is what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
In terms of content.
Yes, and Marga Gomez, when she came to our show last year, she came backstage and said, thank you. You made my holiday. And it isn't just about being lesbian. It's also about being political, about not...
giving into the consumerism and the mass consciousness.
Yeah, about talking about people. You would think that people want to forget about that and just enjoy, but they don't. It's a relief mm-hmm. for people to come together with other people and talk about political issues, especially in the sort of mocking way that we do in Frosty the Snowden
sure.
Manning.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like to say, you know, all of us are involved in live shows. And I
yeah.
think that what people all over the world want to do is to gather together with groups of people and be together at this
yeah.
time
mm-hmm.
and laugh and enjoy yeah. themselves. And theater provides that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. that's what's so wonderful.
I mean, I think it's tempting at the holidays to isolate, especially those of us who either don't have families or those of us who are estranged from our families, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it gives us a place of belonging.
Yeah, and community. I think what we need to do is avoid that. You know what I mean? We really do need to get your butt out and go see a show at Christmas time, at the holiday time.
Connie Champagne is at Michael Feinstein's on the 18th, and the Crackpot Crones are at theexit.org, the exit from the 14th to the 29th. Thank you, ladies, very much
Wednesday,
for being here.
This Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Out in the Bay
Thank
needs
you.
Your support. You've been listening to Out in the Bay. Just go to outinthebay.com, hit our Donate Now button, and keep us on the air. We're supported in part by the Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, providing legal referrals in over 100 areas of the law, including those most relevant to the LGBT community. Information online at sfbar.org, LRIS. That's sfbar.org/LRIS. Or by phone, 415-989-1616. Our show airs and streams Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific. And then it's at outinthebay.com or outinthebay.org. You can find us so easily, and you can donate so easily. There's nothing more nonprofit than Out in the Bay right now. Just go to our website, please. You can also download the Stitcher app. Thanks to the staff and management of KALW, Joanne Marr is our engineer. Thank you, Joanne. Another awesome job. Out in the Bay is produced by Eric Jansen and me. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. Thank you.